Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, joining you on this great Tuesday afternoon. All right, we have a great show planned for you today. Rick Bucher is going to be here. We'll talk some NBA. Warren Sapp, as promised, he'll be here today. We'll talk some Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right. Bucky Brooks is going to be here. We'll talk Cam Newton. But we'll start by going out to Lavar Arrington's crib out in Pasadena. And we'll start with a conversation brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich, today's Whitlock. We'll start today with a conversation about Drew Brees and the NFL. The Hall of Fame put out its 2010 All-Decade Team, and Drew Brees was not one of the members. Only two quarterbacks selected to the team. Tom Brady, of course, a no-brainer. He's won too many Super Bowls. He is the GOAT. But Aaron Rodgers edged out Drew Brees for the second quarterback position. And to some people's mind, this is controversial. I'm not so sure. Yes, Drew Brees threw for more yards than Aaron Rodgers, threw for more touchdowns over the last 10 years. But Aaron Rodgers has two MVP trophies. Aaron Rodgers has a Super Bowl appearance in the last 10 years. Drew Brees doesn't have a Super Bowl appearance, doesn't have an MVP. But more than anything, rather than people being upset that Drew Brees should be in on the All-Decade Team ahead of Aaron Rodgers, they need to look at the non-pass interference call in the NFC Championship game just 2 years ago. That's the reason Drew Brees isn't on this All-Decade Team more than anything. If they advance to that Super Bowl, and perhaps if they win that Super Bowl, then Drew Brees does become the second quarterback on the All-Decade Team. I think this non-call here, which I don't have a big problem with, but a lot of people do, I think the non-call in the NFC Championship game is the culprit here in why Drew Brees isn't on the All-Decade Team. All right, let's turn it over to Marcellus Wiley. What say you, Marcellus, to my contention that the controversial NFC Championship calls Drew Brees here?
I don't think it's that isolated moment, even though that obviously will be convenient for people to point at and say that's the difference. I think if you really look at them on the field, Aaron Rodgers beats Drew Brees in a photo finish, really close. I mean, splitting hairs, literally. But then when you talk about all the voting that's going on, whether it's MVP, All-Decade Team, NFL 100, whatever it may be, we know that other factors come into consideration outside of statistics. So on the field, it's a photo finish. Off the field, I think Aaron Rodgers and his star power actually beats Drew Brees by a couple lengths. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers when he walks in a room with Drew Brees. You're sitting at the head table and you say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is here and Drew Brees. We know which one gets more fanfare. And I think that is a part of this consideration. So there's no slight to Drew Brees. Okay, you're the third best quarterback of this decade. Look, that's like being the fourth place finisher in the Olympics. You can walk around the world and say, hey, I'm fourth fastest in the world. But you didn't get the necessary accolade to get on the medal stand. So I understand how that may feel, but it's no slight. Drew Brees comes up just a little short. And really, to go into some of the numbers, Aaron Rodgers, if you look at it, five of his six best years were in this decade. And then you talk about his worst years, three of his four worst years weren't in this decade. You can't trim that much fat off the resume of Aaron Rodgers and him still being the most talented at the position ever and expect him to lose a nod to Drew Brees.
I don't think it's a splitting hairs debate at all, honestly. I mean, I like the argument that you make, Marcellus, but you cannot take accolades and brush them and push them off to the side in dictating what greatness represents. So the moment you sit there and you say Aaron Rodgers has one league MVP, that's enough to one to two. Drew Brees' zero. No, here we go. Here we go. Two. If you say one, I know. You say one, right? That's enough. Then you get to two. That's more than enough, right? So to me, I don't even look at it. We could go into a whole lot of details about this, that, who comes into the room. The bottom line is, when we're all done playing this game, and you know this just as well as I do, when we come for a job or we want to get an appearance or something like that, they're looking for the gold jackets first, and then they go to the elites next, and then they come to us. It's like the next group of guys that they come to. That's just what it is. That's the reality of it. And the bottom line is, you cannot put Drew Brees ahead of Aaron Rodgers for two simple facts. MVP one, MVP two. Done deal.
I'm going to disagree with you for this reason, LeVar. Marcellus actually was arguing a point that I thought was going to argue in my favor, because I think off the field, it's a blowout the other direction in terms of star power, likability, whose brand will be around, the associated with the NFL for the longest, is Drew Brees. The work he's done in New Orleans, the way he's seen across the league, in my view, and again, I can't speak for everybody, but Drew Brees is the modern-day Walter Payton. He is the embodiment of everything the NFL wants its players to represent, the way Walter Payton used to be, and now they have the Walter Payton Man of the Year. When I think of the man of the decade in the NFL, it's Drew Brees. And that's why in a photo finish, again, if you take what Brees has done off the field, and then if you added a Super Bowl appearance and perhaps a Super Bowl victory, I think the nod would have gone to Drew Brees in that scenario, because just like Marcella said, it's a photo finish. We're splitting hairs. You give Drew Brees an extra Super Bowl, he finishes ahead of Aaron Rodgers despite the MVP deal.
I think if it's off the field, you guys have a debate.
Yeah, for me, man, I'll be real. I played with Drew and saw him get drafted, saw him have his early struggles and blossom into who he is right now. And Drew Brees, no doubt, in a comparison of Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, I would say Drew Brees is a better human. But he's not a greater star than Aaron Rodgers is. And that's just the way it is. It's almost matter of fact. If you watch all the montages, all the times that the NFL is mentioned on our network, other networks, whenever they're talking about the game of football, I'm really particular in this because I watch keenly to see what images they show, what faces, what people. You will count Aaron Rodgers more than you will count Drew Brees in all of the celebrations of the game. When you talk about the game going forward, maybe Aaron Rodgers and his personality, he'll be divorced from the NFL. He'll be the type that maybe doesn't want to be involved as much as Drew Brees. But trust me, they will still have to insert Aaron Rodgers, whether he's participating or not. Drew Brees is an amazing person, amazing personality, can touch every corner of a locker room without even trying. He's an amazing person. But when you talk about that Q rating, that star power, whether it's the discount double check or just the fact that everyone loves to hate on Aaron Rodgers, he just commands more attention.
I gotta push back on both of you guys. I don't think that the blown call dictates this. I don't think that it's popularity off the field that dictates who ended up on this list of all-decade players. Again, you got to go back to the genesis of what you're doing in these moments. If you look at that list of guys, some of those guys don't have the cleanest track records, and I ain't going to go deep into that. So we were basing it off of certain things like that. Some of those people aren't on that list. So I think if you're purely keeping it on the field, again, if there's a person over here that's holding 2, 3, 4 gold medals, but maybe didn't win as many races as this guy over here during the course of their career, you cannot sit there and say, well, this guy over here won more races, but this guy, and they're better than this guy, even though this guy over here has 2, 3 gold medals. It just does not work that way. It's not logical. And that's the reason why Aaron Rodgers, far and away, is the guy for the decade team.
All right, Drew Brees, definite Hall of Famer. We're going to move on. Thank you, LeVar. We're going to move on to another Hall of Famer, Warren Sapp. We're going to go down to Tampa and visit Warren Sapp and his crib. Speak for yourself. That segment was brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. We'll be back with more after this. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. All right, we have a new segment. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, pull up. We're going to visit some folks around America during the quarantine and check in on them, see how they're doing. First up, Warren Sapp, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, great NFL Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, I believe Defensive Player of the Year. Warren, welcome to Speak for Yourself. And we want to start it out kind of light and just, what's been the best thing you've watched on Netflix or Amazon Prime during the quarantine?
You know what? I've been running up and down it, but I got to give the banker a little love because that's, you know, Anthony Mackie and Samuel Jackson. And that Tiger King was just something that I didn't even, you know, understood what was going on. And then I found out it's in the middle of Tampa. I'm like, wait a minute, I know Nebraska Avenue. I know exactly where that is. But I've never been there, so maybe that's a good thing. So other than that, I ain't. But if you got any suggestion, please send me an email or anything, because the one thing I do know, I've watched a lot of movies when I'm like, I've seen that, I've seen that. I just ain't seen nothing I haven't seen.
All right, I'll just say this. Homeland this last season is pretty good. That's worth watching. All right, have you learned anything about yourself during this quarantine?
That I'm a lot more able to stay at home than I thought. Because you know me, I like to rip and run, get my fishing on and travel and, you know, do whatever I do and chase the kids. But the last 23 days have been pretty good with myself. Other than, you know, just not being outside, because I'm a Florida boy. I love being outside and love fishing. But other than that, been pretty good.
All right, it sounds like the thing you miss the most is probably fishing. I see. I mean, you love to fish. What's the thing you miss the most?
Come on, man. There's nothing like being out on the water with your bait in the water, watching your line, and there's nothing else out there but you and the fish, and you're reeling and you're going, and that I love it when she bends over and there's nothing like it. I mean, I don't know what's coming up, but boy, I'm definitely waiting on it to come up.
Well, Sapp, the biggest news this offseason, obviously, is Tom Brady joining your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What do you think, and what did you think when you heard Brady was joining your Bucs?
You know, it was a little crazy to me at first. I'm like, wait a minute. But, you know, I do understand the weapons that we have, and Mike Evans and Goodwin and O.J. Howard, and, you know, we put up 30-some points a game with Jameis. You know, he just throw 30-some interceptions, you know. That's the only problem when you score 30 points. You can't throw 30-some interceptions. Hey, six or seven pick sixes the other way. So, you know, but, you know, I called the office to find out what was going on, and, you know, Florida ain't been too heavy on everybody doing the same thing. So the guy I called at the office was out fishing, which I made me even madder about the situation. So, but we got him in the house, and, you know, the place is really, really excited. And the thing I'm excited about, there will be a full house for Shaq to rush the passer and not a lot of pick sixes going the other way.
Give you that. But at the same time, you're not getting Tom Brady at his peak powers, but how much of Tom Brady is still top level quarterback? And do you think he still has something to prove?
I take a superhero in his last couple of years. That's just the game we're playing. But what we have to do right now in Tampa is get him a left tackle, because Tom Brady has been sacked 500 times. And you know, like I knew, Marcella, this game ain't been as light as it's been as it's been his last couple of years. We used to hit the quarterback with some fury and knock him around. If Tom got 500 on that belt, and we got to make sure that backside is protected, because he can handle everything in front of him. Any good quarterback can do that.
Well, that said, since the game is getting a little friendlier out there, especially for protection at the quarterback. Yeah, Tom Brady's been making mention of him playing potentially to the age of 48. You think he could do it?
I heard 45. Is it done going to 48 now? I turned 48 in December.
That's some of the reports.
Listen, I'm running from the push-up challenge right now. Ain't no way I'm out there going to get hit. Are you crazy? No. Oh, that hurts. Just even
can't
think about it. Come on,
Marcellus. Well, we in the trenches. Tom Brady not
Tom
in the trenches.
Brady.
Come on now.
Tom Brady's on his way in. Jameis Winston is on his way out. Please, there's a mystery in football. This guy won a Heisman Trophy, number one overall pick. What the hell was the matter with Jameis Winston? Why didn't it work out?
You know what? From what I'm hearing, it was just the one thing that all football players must do. And that's go from the blackboard to the practice field, and then from the practice field onto the game field on Sunday. And I heard reports of, okay, Jameis, we're going to go play action pass. You look shallow, then you go up top, go deep. They say he go play action pass, look shallow, then he throw shallow, and then it'd be a pick. And then if he went up top, the guy was wide open. So, you know, when you go through that and then you add up the amount of turnovers and the different stuff, I understand why the Bucs took go with Tom Brady over Jameis Winston. But this young man will find another job in the National Football League and thrive in it, because the one thing I know about him, he thrives in the pocket with the ball in his hands with any shot to win. And if you give him a shot to win, he's on 9 times out of 10 come through for you. But that was just a bad year. And those some bad highlights, y'all, Sean. I can't even talk to that boy. I mean, look at that. Red zone pick, pick sixes. that's not what a franchise quarterback do. And hopefully he's learned his lesson and find him somewhere to play the game. But, you know, when was the last time we seen 3 number one picks as free agents at one time?
Yeah, I want to talk about one of those.
Jameis, Cam Newton,
Davian Clowney. let's go to where you're familiar, Sapp, and let's go in the trenches with Jadeveon Clowney. Never posted double-digit sacks. Last year, only had 3 sacks playing through the sports hernia injury, and was commanding, or at least asking, for $20 million per year. What do you think the proper price is and where Jadeveon Clowney could land as a pass rusher?
I'd be cautious with Jadeveon, because I remember when he came out of South Carolina, and I remember saying, it doesn't matter what he does in the National Football League, he'll always be a star in South Carolina, in his home state. He'll always be the guy that made that great play against that kid from Michigan and knocked his helmet off. And, you know, he was coming on in his last couple of years down in Houston, because you couldn't tell me that 9 and 9.5 sack season he had, he wasn't the best player on that defense down in Houston. Bill O'Brien made the decision to get rid of him, and now he's out on the free agent market. Somebody's going to find a place for this man to go rush the passer, because he's a talented young man, and maybe he's learned his lesson now, being that it'd be his third team for a number one pick, that it's going to require some working numbers and some productivity from you, young man. You know, when somebody says your name out as a pass rusher, they can't say, never had a 10-sack season. But facts are facts, and they are stubborn.
Sapp, you make a hell of a point, and I think it relates to Cam Newton in a conversation we're going to have in our next segment. I think sometimes you can be too talented, and talent can actually hurt your motor. And I see Jadeveon Clowney as a guy who turns his motor on and off, whereas when you're a 6'1", 300 pounds, you only have one choice if you're Warren Sapp. Your motor has to
you
run
only got one
all
choice to
the
get
time.
Off the dirt road,
this
baby. Get off the dirt road. Get off the dirt road. You got to work, baby. And that's something he's never done, and that's something I was really questioning when he came out. And it's the same thing with Myles Garrett. You got to put up the numbers and go out and show people you love this game that will be here 100 years after you. Stop playing with it. They will find somebody else to rush the pass and play first and second down. I promise you they will.
Myles Garrett, you just mentioned him. What did you think about the way he handled his situation with Mason Rudolph and the whole Pittsburgh, the whole helmet deal, and then saying, hey, I got called the N-word or whatever? Your thoughts on Myles Garrett?
Voila, young man. I mean, if someone did that to you and you felt that way, we'd all heard about it that Thursday night. I made a call to Pittsburgh locker room because I know Mike T and G and some of the guys over there pretty good. My whole thing was that was assault with a deadly weapon. That man should have been arrested that night. And I understand the NFL and it's a football field and all of that, but that was assault with a deadly weapon. You don't hit nobody with your helmet. We're not even allowed to hit them in the helmet with my helmet on, with their helmet on, when they're catching the ball. You definitely not allowed to swing your helmet. No. Snatch it off his head and then hit him with it. Oh, my goodness. Just to think about it, it really brings up really bad things for me, so... Let's just hope Myles Garrett got some counseling and some treatment or something, and we can come back from that, because that Mm-mm. No, never want to ever see that again.
Mm. One thing about you, Sap, man, being one of your peers and obviously just respecting your game so much is you had a secret sauce, something between your ears, something that got you going because you not only changed the position, but you continue to have that excellence consistently year after year when people knew the double, triple team you did not matter. What was your secret sauce? Share it with the world.
A dirt road with no cable television and no air conditioning. That's where I grew up at, a little town called Plymouth, Florida. And my mom worked three jobs for 36 years. I was a baby of six. And there was no way. And the game I loved, you know, Marcellus, growing up, you watched Earl Campbell, you watched the Keith Millard, you watched the Chris Dolman, God bless his soul, Bruce Smith. I mean, you growed up one day just wishing to play on Monday Night Football. And now you headlining Monday Night Football? Oh, no, don't disrespect the game and leave it in better shape than you found it and treat it like the queen that she is and the golden goose egg that they lay. I mean, just love this game. I mean, it was nothing like playing the game in front of my mother. I was very fortunate that my mother was at a lot of my games. And when mom was in the stand, quarterbacks got to go down. In the words of the great Al Davis, in the first 10 plays, the opposing quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard.
Hey, Sap, I see Bo Jackson behind you, and that's on your left side. On your right side, oh, I thought that was, that's not Otto Graham. Jim Otto.
Otto Graham. Jim Otto, the indestructible. Jim Otto, my bad. Raider. Raider. Raider Nation, baby.
Oh, so again, I get the Bo Jackson thing, but Jim Otto, how come, what's the story there? Why are you such a big fan of Jim Otto? No, he was a great player, but just, you know,
give me
some details.
University of Miami.
Oh.
That's the original, baby. Gotcha. The indestructible one. That's the original K. That's the first one went in the hall. He's the first one.
All right, who's the greatest hurricane, baby? And we'll let you go.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marcellus.
For me, the greatest hurricane of all time is Jerome Brown. I mean, you just hear the stories, and when he beat the Hogs with one shoulder on Sunday afternoon, ask Reggie White. Oh, God bless his soul, too. Reggie White told me how great Jerome Brown was, so that's why I hold him in the reverence that I held. And then people always said I played like him. And one time I met his mother, and she actually said he looks like my baby. And that just took me on a whole nother level. So Jerome is for me. Jerome is the greatest Cane of all time.
Settle this debate for me, Sap, because in the trenches, you know how it goes, man. Everyone wants to talk about you play D-tackle, I play D-end. I don't have your accolades. I don't have your career. So when I say it, people were like, whatever. Ask somebody great. I'm going to ask a great. Reggie White, rest in peace, or Bruce Smith. Who was the better DN?
Reggie White was the better defensive line because he can play all positions.
Ooh.
The best DN was 200. Mr. 200. I mean, I know Reggie White had more sack than games at one point in his life.
Nope.
But, no. Yeah. The Bruce. That's a bad man.
Wow.
That's a bad man.
I would love to disagree.
Reggie White. All right. Marcellus. Marcellus, you play in the trenches. Who would you rather face, the left or the right tackle?
Oh, you already know. Give me that right tackle all day.
Give me that fat guy. That's why Reggie White had to hump. He got him up the field and humped him back across. I mean, but don't say you couldn't rush the left tackle either, but I'd take the right tackle over the left tackle any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Send Sap, a memo. Thank you so
That's
much.
Real.
Really appreciate it.
Anytime,
Shout
my
out
brothers,
to you and
y'all
your
be
family
good.
Out there in Hollywood, Florida.
I'm coming to go fish as soon as they stop me from getting off this corona in the lockdown. I'm coming to San Diego. I'm coming to L.A. We're going fishing, baby. They got good stuff out there. I want to hear.
All right. See you next year.
You
then.
To bait my hook. I don't touch that stuff. All right.
Hey, get your big money.
Rocky Brooks is around the corner. We're going to talk about Cam Newton. And I got a crazy question about Cam Newton and his physique. Is his Greek body hurting his football career? Dirt! Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, time now to go out and visit another crib, Bucky Brooks, somewhere out here in the Los Angeles area. Bucky, welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Looking good. All right, I got a crazy topic that I'm sure Marcellus is going to hate on, but I love it, and I wanted you to come on and argue with me as well. Cam Newton been putting out all these social media videos, shirtless, working out, the whole nine yards, and it just got me to thinking and realizing Cam is built like a Greek god. He looks like a tight end, an outside linebacker, one of the best built guys in all the professional sports. And it's actually the physique, like a linebacker, like a tight end, that is actually limiting Cam as a quarterback for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think we've ever seen a quarterback built like this. But two, if any quarterback does look like this, their mentality won't be about all the extra intangible things a quarterback can do. When you have that body, you want to run the football. You want to be highly aggressive. Your mentality is that of a linebacker or someone else rather than a quarterback. If Cam had a physique more like Tom Brady, Cam Newton would be a better quarterback. All right, Marcellus, get us rolling here. Am I crazy for thinking Cam's physique is holding him back as a quarterback?
Boy, I love working with you, boy. It is never shocking some of the things that come out of your mouth. Look, I will say this, Whit. You cleaned that up as best as you could. You stated it well, but it's still a mess in what you said. So basically, I just surmise that we live in a world where an athlete can look too athletic. Like, oh, my God, LeBron, 6'8", 260, too much. Like, tone it down a little bit. Why you have to look like that? And I don't like this correlation of his physique to the lack of intangibles he may possess because he has that physique. They don't rob each other. I know there's a curse of the gifted, but Cam is a MVP. He's not cursed because of his body. He's blessed because of his body. What I think really happened to Cam, what really screwed him up, was the fact that he went out there, bought into the team concept, and played hurt. As simple as that, playing hurt is what now has Cam Newton in a position where he's jobless. I did the same thing. I played hurt. You can either go out there and play hurt and try and show valor and get all this respect for doing it for the team and something bigger than yourself. Or you can go play hurt, and then your numbers will suffer, your performance will suffer, and then you will suffer because you will lose opportunities. And usually in that equation, the latter comes true. Cam Newton, in his last eight games, was injured through all of them. You talk about a guy who had two shoulder surgeries and then had a Liz Frank injury, and this guy tried to play through all of that. You erase those 2 years. You erase him trying to show that courage through those moments and just have Cam Newton redshirt and then all of a sudden magically appear healthy. You know what happens? Completely different perception and complexion of Cam Newton. He did what many good players, great players have done. Went out on his sword because he tried to play hurt. It cost him.
Yeah, Marcellus, I agree with you on that. And I think you make a really good point about Cam Newton playing hurt. You know, Cam's biggest problem was he wasn't selfish enough. If he was selfish and didn't give of himself for the team, we wouldn't be talking about him like this. But to Jason's point about his physique and how in shape Cam is, I actually think that is a positive. Because when you think about Cam Newton's game, you don't think about Cam Newton the passer. You think about Cam Newton as the rugged force of nature that dominated the position as a running quarterback. I think for Cam, Cam only has one way to play. And I think to me, by looking at him, he is fully gearing up to be fully armored up to play like Cam Newton has always played. And that version of Cam Newton was an unstoppable force. And if he gets to the right place, and I'll tell you the right place a little later, but if he gets to the right place and if Bill Belichick happens to be his coach, I think all of us will be eating our words about what Cam Newton is and what he could be in the National Football League.
Cam Newton's not a fit for Bill Belichick. And listen, this sounds like I'm being hypercritical of Cam. His physique, it's awesome. It's something to be admired, and every athlete wishes they looked that way. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Tom Brady, even a Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, all of these guys, there are so many intangibles and fundamentals to football that when you are blessed with that body and the mentality that goes along with that body, you can't have that body unless you're thinking about it all the time, how to maintenance it, how to keep it at that level. Whereas other quarterbacks that aren't don't have those gifts, Russell Wilson, he's short. Tom Brady, they focus in on a bunch of other fundamentals and footwork and things like that and technique that Cam, I'm just sorry, just hasn't had to focus in on. The ball comes out late for Cam. Cam's footwork oftentimes. You keep hearing about, we're going to change his throwing motion for X, Y, and Z. We're going to change the footwork for X, Y, and Z. Those, it's hard for those things to be your focus when you have Cam Newton's body, when you got the body of Rob Gronkowski. I'm just sorry. And again, that's why I compare him a bit to Gronkowski, because when you have that body, you have the personality that goes along with that body, and it's more Gronk-like than Brady or Russell Wilson-like or Aaron Rodgers-like or Patrick Mahomes-like or even Lamar Jackson, who's relatively thin for the style of quarterback that he plays. I think Cam's physique has caused him not to be as focused on the fundamentals as other quarterbacks, and it's kind of held him back.
Well, let's get to the fundamental of the sport before we even get to the fundamental of the position. It is a talent-based criteria. It's a talent-based occupation. No matter how it looks, there's this calculation of mental, physical, intangibles, tangibles. There's that calculus going on. Now, Cam Newton is in the NFL. Everyone in the NFL is a dog. Everyone. But Cam Newton is a wolf. And if you look at him, they may look similar, but boy, trust me, they ain't the same. Look at this. When you're talking about the population of people who have ever walked this planet, let alone played in the NFL that look like Cam Newton, you get this sample size. Then you talk about all the others, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, whoever you want to talk about, you get this sample size. And you know what you can do with that sample size? You can leverage it and say, you know what? This is where the intangibles lie. This is where the good quarterbacks are. Because it's just more general population, regular-looking dudes. Not that many wolves on that side. So Cam Newton is fighting really against himself and the fact that there are very few others who can even compare to him in terms of measurables. So really an unfair comparison to Cam Newton because he has worked on his game. You do not become MVP of the NFL if you don't have your fundamentals and you don't have intangibles. It's impossible to do.
Look, I think Cam Newton is kind of struck with the same curse that LeBron James was struck with in terms of sometimes when you're so gifted and you're so physically dominant that you've been able to skip steps along the way. And for Cam, wherever Cam has been, he's always been the best player on the field. And sometimes that allows you to move forward and advance steps without mastering the fundamentals. What typically happens as you get older and your skills begin to decline, your athleticism, you then need to lean on your fundamentals. The key for Cam Newton going forward is, can he put enough time in to develop and refine the fundamentals? So when his athleticism begins to wane, his mind, his experience, his wisdom enables him to play at a high level. But make no mistake, a lot of times when we are praising Tom Brady for being able to be a guy that can play into his 40s, it's the TB12 method. It's how he's taking care of his body. Unfortunately, Tom Brady doesn't have the gene pool to pull from that enables him to look physically like Cam. Because if he could, I'm sure he would. He's just not gifted like that. And because of that, he leans on his other attributes that enable him to win and play at a high level.
If Tom Brady looked like Cam Newton, he'd play tight end or outside linebacker and he'd be in the Hall of Fame. If Cam Newton played tight end or linebacker or something like that, Cam Newton would be in the Hall of Fame. But we got to go. He's not a good fit for the for New England.
He's a great
Our Cam
fit.
Needs to put out Instagram
Check
videos of him in
Check
the film room. That's crazy. What I want to see, Cam in the film room. All right, we got to go. Rick Bucher's going to join us. We're going to talk about LeBron James as a leader. Jared Dudley calling LeBron the best leader in all of basketball, perhaps in all of professional sports. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. More after this. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, time to go out to the Bay Area. And Rick Bucher joining us from his crib in the Bay Area. All right, let's talk some LeBron James. Jared Dudley, a key member of the Lakers bench and part of their leadership core, a veteran, said in an interview recently that LeBron James is the best leader he's seen in basketball, and that that's what separates him from Giannis Antetokounmpo in the MVP race, is that LeBron's leadership just on the court, off the court, being a team guy, makes him the clear MVP of the league, even though Giannis has better stats. All right, the question here is Jared Dudley exaggerating LeBron's leadership skills? Marcel, let's get us rolling.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and anybody who knows Jared Dudley knows this is what he does, man. I love me some Jared Dudley. That's the homie, but he always is selling them syrup sandwiches, man, just putting sap everywhere and just putting too much on everything. Call him Uncle Jemima out here. Just doing too much. If you listen to what he was saying, he literally said this, as I quote, "Yeah, by statistics, Giannis is the MVP, but LeBron, come on. He's a guy's guy. He tells guys where to go on the court. Hey, we have team dinners with LeBron. What the hell does that have to do with him being the MVP? If Giannis can't win the MVP having a better team and better numbers than he did when he won the MVP last year, then what is this? It's turning into a damn Twitter poll, which is just likability and, hey, LeBron's popular, right? So let's insert him in there. Don't forget he's older. He's 35. I love me some Jared Dudley, but chill with the syrup sandwiches, man. It's Giannis' MVP to keep.
It's not an exaggeration that Jared Dudley is the greatest hype man you could ever hope to have. But it is an exaggeration that LeBron James is the best leader in basketball. I understand what he's doing. He's trying to give LeBron an edge to win MVP. But let's look at some other leaders in the NBA. Not at Giannis, but Steph Curry, LeBron James. And this is what I hate. I don't want to bag on LeBron James' leadership. But if you're going to tell me he's the best leader in basketball and you're going to forget Steph Curry, then I have to. And the reality is, what did Steph Curry do when he broke his hand this year? He busted his ass to get back and play on a last place team. When he wasn't practicing, he was on the bench at every game cheering these guys on that he probably is not going to see on next year's team. What did LeBron do when he was injured? He was walking into the arena drinking wine, and the second that he thought there was nothing to play for, he shut it down for the rest of the season. I rest my case. If we're going to talk about leadership on and off the court, what Steph does on and off the court without trying to draw attention to himself, it's not close. And I hate saying that because LeBron does so many good things on and off the court. But come on, we're going to compare leaders. Steph Curry is a runaway in this category.
Rick, you make a hell of a point. I'm going to defend Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley can only evaluate what he's seen. He was here this year, and LeBron James has been tremendous as a leader this year. He wasn't there. He wasn't on the Lakers last year, when LeBron was showing up drinking wine and LeBron did everything to undermine the head coach, Luke Walton, and LeBron was a disaster. Jared Dudley, based off what he's seen this year, to me has every right to make this argument. We have every right to disagree. We can judge LeBron's entire body of work. And there are years where LeBron is the best leader. And there are years, I think, where he's a horrible leader and perhaps one of the worst. Marcellus, I'll disagree with you. I think these intangibles that Jared Dudley points out are worthy intangibles that slide the MVP trophy to LeBron James. This year, this season, LeBron has been incredible on the court and even better as a teammate and a leader. And I think that gives him some added value in his MVP campaign over Giannis.
Willock, I ain't gonna let you get away with that. Nah, man, we partners in doing this. If I came out here, stumbled through things, didn't do things efficiently, perfectly, whatever, but I made it up because we had a team dinner at my house. I made it up because, you know what, guys? I'm buying everybody the better gifts. Like, leadership, that's not intangibles. That's just a guy who's like a good dude. There are great dudes on every team, and they're not MVP candidates because, hey, you know what? He's a guy's guy. Like, that's like when people walk up to me, and I hear it all the time, when they talk to a celebrity or an athlete, 5 minutes into the conversation, they say, oh, my God, you're so down to earth. What the hell are you thinking? Like, he's a guy's guy. You walked in there with this reference of LeBron James, like he's going to come from the clouds. LeBron James ties his shoes up like everybody else. So to give him credit for just being a guy, a teammate, to me, shouldn't come into the conversation of
Marcellus,
being
an MVP. We got to go. Marcellus, the man is averaging 25 points a game, leading the league in assists. He's averaging 8-9 rebounds a game, bunch of triple-doubles. His team is leading the West.
And
it's
Anthony
not
Davis
like
got better numbers on his own
intangibles.
Team.
It's just intangibles. Well, no, better numbers, but he ain't the better player. LeBron has been. Listen, you know, yeah, look, I love to criticize LeBron, but he's had an incredible season. He's been an incredible leader this year. Hollywood James has worked this season. All right, we got to go. Sorry, Rick, we couldn't let you get more in, but we got to get to Uncle Jimmy and our approval rating for Drew Brees. All right, speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai. More after this. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself. From the crib, Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Time to go out to Uncle Jimmy's crib and bring him in.
Uncle Jimmy.
All right, we don't have a lot of time. Who's your big dummy of the day?
Big dummy of the day goes to the person that said that, you know what it's like to have a body like Cam Newton's? No, you don't know what it's like to have a body like Cam Newton's, and I wish the hell you stopped trying to act like you do. Hey, man, listen.
Say it.
Stop it.
Listen, all right, let's move on to Drew Brees. Do you have a take on Drew Brees? He didn't make the all-decade team. I blame the NFC Championship loss a couple of years ago.
Not only did you blame the NFC Championship loss, you blame that particular play for the reason that he's not going to make the all-decade team. Yeah. Okay, but look here. Yeah. Why don't you keep it real, man? That wasn't the play that cost him, and you know it. Okay, because he had the ball back after the missed call, and he still couldn't get it in the end zone. Mm. So he came up, like Darkless said, just a little bit short. And that's been the knock on Drew Brees his whole career, that he's just been a little bit short. And nephew, I know that's something you know something about. Word on the street is that you ain't never
really
lived up to your measurables. Okay? Now let's just be honest. Okay? Hey, man, you know better than anybody on this set what it's like to come up short when it matters most. Hey, word is that you can't perform well up under the bright lights, okay? Turn it to night, baby. Extra bright up.
Uncle Jimmy, we've heard enough. I got to go to my approval rating for Drew Brees. He stays at a GOAT status.
Yeah.
But since the last time we saw him, we did this in, like, December. His performance in the playoffs wasn't that good. Still a GOAT, 87.
Still a GOAT, 26 for character. He gave $5 million, and he said his wife's name when he gave it. You ain't heard that with nobody else.